you later.
Hey, Chiefs fans, welcome to Red and Gold. I'm your host, Rachel Sanchi. It's Memorial Day weekend, and you know what that means? Football season is right around the corner. Hard to believe, right? Well, we're definitely ready for the season to get underway, and we've got plenty of great stuff for you in this week's episode. So let's get to it. Coming up, you hear him on Sundays. Now find out the story of Kansas native and voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus.
I started actually in high school and doing some sportscasting at the remedial level. Then I thought I was going to go to law school. I got accepted to three law schools. I was a law clerk for 2 years. I don't want to do that.
Then we catch up with Chiefs wide receiver Dexter McCluster.
The energy is up high. I mean, it's fast-paced, learning process. So we have to go out there and have fun doing it and enjoy it and learn it as fast as possible.
Plus, Chiefs Hall of Famer Daron Cherry shares with us his path to the Chiefs and the memories made at Arrowhead Stadium.
There was a tradition here, and all those guys in that secondary that were all pro players and Hall of Famers, there was a legacy here that you knew from day one that if you made this team, you were part of that.
Daron Cherry and other Chiefs ambassadors attend an event each year to offer guidance and advice to the newest rookie class. Just this month, coaches and ambassadors descended on the University of Kansas Hospital Training Complex to attend the Chiefs Rookie Dinner. In this week's Access Arrowhead, presented by Prime Sport, we give you an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at this special event.
The importance of this event, obviously, is for not only our new players to the football, whether it be draft picks, our rookies, our undrafted, our free agent type guys that are here. They get a chance to kind of see the history of the Kansas City Chiefs and meet former players and the ambassadors and some of the guys that, I mean, have just paved the way so these rookies and new players to our organization can understand that. And so this is a really big event. It's exciting. It's great for us, too, because it's new for us, and I'm really looking forward to the evening.
This is a special tradition that we tried to start a few years ago where we bring back some of the great alumni who played for the Kansas City Chiefs and give our rookie players a chance to meet those individuals. These men are all tremendous guys. Many of them had outstanding careers on the football field, and all of them have done so much in the community. And you young players will have a chance to learn a lot from them, both on and off the field.
One of our primary responsibilities is to make sure that the new players and the current players have had an opportunity to meet the guys that created this thing, that started the legacy of what is the Kansas City Chiefs.
The NFL is very challenging, and it is very rewarding. But with that comes a responsibility that you must do. That is, you have to be responsible for yourself. You have to be responsible for your teammates. You have to be responsible for the National Football League, and most importantly, the Kansas City Chiefs.
And then when you have opportunities like this, this doesn't happen everywhere. This isn't happening at every team in the National Football League. There's not ambassadors with every football team in the National Football League. That's not how this thing works. Not everybody takes their veteran players and say, hey, we want you. That's not the way it is everywhere. This is a unique situation for you, so you take full advantage of it.
Got it. 30-yard line, McCluster, and the rabbit runs. McCluster, 45, 40, 35, cuts it back inside, fires a pass for McCluster, cut it to 20, spins off the hit, 10, inside the 5, McCluster dives. He's at the 10, at the 5, edging near front pylon. McCluster trying to get to the left side, and does, 2 blocks, he's at the 30, McCluster could go. McCluster, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City.
I'm with Chiefs wide receiver Dexter McCluster. Now, Dexter, there's been a lot going on this offseason, new coaches, new staff members. What's the energy of the team right now?
The energy is up high. I mean, it's fast-paced, learning process, quick turnaround, so we have to go out there and have fun doing it and enjoy it and learn it as fast as possible.
Speaking of training, now we're in mini camp mode. How has it been having everyone back and working together again?
It's been fun having everybody back. I mean, you get to joke around with the guys that you so used to being around. I mean, it's the team. It's all about love, all about team camaraderie. So it's been a beautiful thing. It's fun.
Speaking of team camaraderie, how important is it right now building that camaraderie through mini camp before the season starts?
Definitely. Like I said, it's a quick turnaround. You have to learn fast. And learning fast, you got to put in the extra work. But right now we have each other to help each other out. Some guys been in this offense before, so you know, you just have to take it for what it is and enjoy it.
Now, even though it's the off season, I'm sure you've still been incredibly busy working hard. Tell me what you've been up to lately.
I've been up to a lot lately. You know, been working out first and foremost. Been in Florida with my family. Been doing some charity work. You know, it's always good to use this platform to make a difference.
Coming up, we sit down with six-time Pro Bowler and Chiefs great Daron Cherry.
Daron Cherry has just picked off Todd Marinovich.
What a terrific play by Daron Cherry. I've said all along, he reads quarterbacks as well as any defensive back in the National Football League.
Then it's off to Smith Center, Kansas, as we explore Voice of the Chiefs' Mitch Holthus' amazing journey to the Chiefs broadcast booth.
He used to set upstairs in his room, and he'd sit at the desk, and he'd have all of his papers just like he does now. He'd take anything that he could for a mic. He just loved to sit at that desk. I can remember him sitting up there for hours and hours and just pretending that he was announcing a game.
Time to test your knowledge with some trivia. Which Chiefs player was the first to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? A. Bobby Bell, B. Len Dawson, C. Buff Buchanan, or D. Willie Lanier? When we return, we'll reveal the answer. Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
Derek Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365. Before the break, we asked you, which Chiefs player was the first to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? The answer is A, Bobby Bell. In 1983, Bell was the first Chiefs player to make it into the Hall. However, Lamar Hunt, the team's founder, was the first inductee in 1972. Welcome back to Red and Gold. There's this saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again. That's exactly what Chiefs safety Daron Cherry did in 1981. After going undrafted, Cherry signed as a college free agent with the Chiefs, only to be released a few months later. Cherry's determination never wavered, though, and he was re-signed to the team and got his second shot at the Chiefs. The rest is history.
Well, I'm from Palmyra, New Jersey. That's where I was born and grew up there. It was a small town just right across the bridge from Northeast Philadelphia. Started my football career there when I was 9 years old, playing PAL football around the area. And then went on to play high school ball, quarterback my freshman year. And then my sophomore year, I got to be a starting varsity quarterback as a sophomore. I actually supplanted my brother, kicked him out because he was a quarterback the year before, and he wound up moving over to wide receiver, and I became the quarterback of the varsity. So
he was like a coach on the field. I mean, he had that insight of both offense and defense. He could read quarterbacks, and when he was on defense, he knew what was going on.
We had a very close-knit town.
You always hear the term, it takes a village. Well, we actually grew up in this village. In this town, people looked out for one another.
Everybody was family. I mean, you go five blocks down the street and you got in trouble, somebody's mom was coming out whooping your butt, sending you home, and then by the time you got home, your mom already knew about it, and they'd say, well, thank you for taking care of that issue. But then you'd come home and get another spanking from your mom. So My path here to Kansas City, I was at Rutgers. I had a great career there. Didn't know if I'd have a chance in the NFL, but was always having hopes and dreams that I could. And Ted Cottrell, who was our defensive coordinator at Rutgers, my senior year wound up leaving and came out here and became the linebacker coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. During the draft, the first day he was calling and saying, hey, have you heard from anybody? And I said, well, I've heard from a few teams, and they were talking about maybe drafting me in the second day of the draft. He said, well, whatever you do, don't sign with anybody until you hear from me. And I said, okay. Fortunately enough for me, Ted Cottrell called me and said, hey, we'd like to bring you out here. We didn't draft any punters, and we're looking for punters. And I think the Chiefs that year drafted three safeties, so they were looking at that position too. So I said, fine. I got on a plane. Basically, the next day, they signed me as a punter. So I picked up the phone, and I got a hold of Coach Levy, and I said, Coach, I know my punting wasn't what it should be, but also, you know, I played safety, and you drafted three safeties, and I think I can contribute there. He goes, let me think about it, and I'll call you back. Well, he thought about it, and he called me back and said, okay, come on back in. We'll basically have you working at the safety position, and you can punt too, and we'll see what happens. To this day, I think about that. Had I not made that decision to pick up the phone and call Coach Levy, I wouldn't be here. You know, my name wouldn't be up in Arrowhead and be a part of this great organization if I hadn't made that call.
Daron Cherry has just picked off Todd Marinovich.
What a terrific play by Daron Cherry. I've said all along, he reads quarterbacks as well as any defensive back in the National Football League, and there is the big turnover for Kansas City.
The most important guys that helped me with that journey, there were a number. Gary Barbro, Gary Green, Eric Harris. And these were all pro players. They kind of took us under their wing. They taught us what it meant to be a defensive back for this organization. Because there was a tradition here. When you figure those guys, then Emmett Thomas and Johnny Robinson and all those guys in that secondary that were all pro players and Hall of Famers, there was a legacy here that you knew from day one that if you made this team, you were part of that. And those guys made sure that you understood, number one, the commitment that you were making, not only to the team, but to that group, in particular that group. And they made sure, when we were in meetings, they made sure that we were the ones who answered the questions. Because they always told us, this game, there's injuries that come up, and you gotta be ready to play at any moment. So we prepared, and we made sure that everybody understood that we all have jobs to do, but if we do it together, we could be one of the greatest defensive backfields in the history of the NFL. When you look at secondaries and you look at the history of this game, there's very few teams that can say that we had four people in our secondary that all made the Pro Bowl at some point in time during their careers while they played together.
Stay tuned. When Red and Gold returns, we explore the life and times of the one and only voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus.
I started actually in high school and doing some sports casting at the remedial level. Then I thought I was going to go to law school. I got accepted to three law schools. I was a law clerk for 2 years. I thought, nah, I don't want to do that.
Corona Light presents Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Starring Kenny Chesney and Eric Church, Eli Young Band, and introducing Casey Musgraves, Saturday, June 15th at Arrowhead Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Available at all Ticketmaster ticket outlets. Kenny Chesney and friends in concert.
Welcome back to Red and Gold. You hear him every Sunday, whether in your car, in your house, or even in your ear while sitting at your seats at Arrowhead. Voice of the Chiefs' Mitch Holthus' passion and energy for the game is shared with millions of fans across the entire Chiefs kingdom.
Very few small towns in America have had a book written about it, but there's a New York Times bestseller written about where I grew up in Smith Center. It's called Our Boys, and it does give everyone a flavor of what it's like to be there. It's not close to anything. It's 90 miles from a McDonald's or a Walmart or a Home Depot, and yet I wouldn't have traded for anything in the world. There's a lot of pride there, but what I learned growing up there was the value of hard work, because you work. And the second thing you learn is how to treat people.
Mitch was kind of a unique kid. All kids, you know, especially now in Smith Center, they want to be an athlete. I can remember times of Mitch when he was this would probably been in junior high or younger. He always played football at recess. Some of the times when Mitch wasn't playing, he'd be over on the sidelines with a make-believe mic calling the game as a kid, you know. Nobody knew what that would lead to. Maybe Mitch did.
He used to sit upstairs in his room, and he'd sit at the desk, and he'd have all of his papers, just like he does now, in that he outlines everything, and all the little tidbits that he could think of, he'd put on his broadcast posters that he had. And he'd take anything that he could for a mic, and he just loved to sit at that desk. I can remember him sitting up there for hours and hours and just pretending that he was announcing a game.
I grew up loving sports, kind of a gym rat. Went to a small school and played everything, but also realized I could speak. I was into debate and forensics. And so I thought, how can you put those two together? And I started actually in high school and doing some sports casting at the remedial level. Then I thought I was going to go to law school. I got accepted to 3 law schools. I was a law clerk for 2 years. That. Nah, I don't want to do that.
We are obviously Kansas State fans, and Mitch would listen to Dev Nelson, and at that time, our radio reception was such that he had to go up to the top of the hill to pick up the reception to hear Dev Nelson do that, and he, at that time, he said, I want to be the voice of the Wildcats sometime. Very few kids really get to live their dream, and that actually happened to him.
So I started now at the very beginning stages, doing high school ball, selling advertising, doing junior college ball, then had an opportunity to go to Kansas State, where I was the voice of my alma mater for 13 years, and then I got the opportunity, after being turned down by the Vikings, the Falcons, the Bears, I was a finalist. You know, I had 300 applicants for these jobs. I got down to the final two, final three, so after kind of being pounding around in this business, I got the best job of all, because I'm the voice of the team that I grew up with.
They're going to throw a fade pattern near side. DeBoe comes back for the ball and pulls it into his body. Power play, left side. Charles off tackle. He's at the 20. He's at the 30. Turns that speed loose. He's at the 50. Harper chasing. They're not going to catch him. It's going to be touchdown, Kansas City.
My wife will say, that's Mitch. Sounds like Mitch. That is Mitch, you know. We both know Mitch's voice. When we hear Mitch, we know we're getting an accurate picture of what's going on.
And I want to make that broadcast come alive to the farmer who's working in the field or the person that's working in the emergency room of the hospital where my mom worked. And then I think about the entire kingdom. I love the kingdom. And the kingdom is basically defined from Des Moines to Tulsa to Western Kansas to Columbia, Jeff City area. And I think about all those people. I think about the fabric of those people. What do they want to know about this team, because they truly, truly love the team. That's why you will always hear me talk about opponent players who either went to college or grew up in the kingdom, because that's part of making the game come alive to them.
Some of the people around here say, well, Mitch is awful lucky to get where he's at today. But I don't think luck had much to do with it. You know, Mitch was a dedicated young man. When he was given a job, he'd done it. It didn't matter if it meant going out to farm and work. He was humble enough, he was willing to do it. And so I feel like he's been rewarded for hard work, not by luck.
A 24-24 tie, snap down, Suckup's kick. It is up and it's right down the middle. Suckup on an all-time Kansas City Chief record, 6th field goal.
The people ask me all the time, what's the call that you remember the most? And I have to be honest, I haven't given it yet. 17 years with this organization, it's been ups and downs. Mostly it's been about the fans. And yet there's been some disappointments. It's why I'm so excited about the current regime and how we're approaching this. I see clips of the 1969 team in the parade and Lenny up there on the stage with Hank Stram and Lamar Hunt and Bill Grigsby. I pray and hope that in my lifetime I get to experience that day, mainly to see the faces of the fans and the faces of the Hunt family. I want to be there on that day.
Would you like a behind-the-scenes look at Arrowhead Stadium? Then come on out to Arrowhead for one of our amazing stadium tours. You'll visit the Founders Club, the Scout Investments Club level, the Hall of Honor presented by Time Warner Cable, the team locker room, and walk along the field itself. We have a number of tour options to fit your style, and we can't wait to see you at Arrowhead Stadium. For dates and times, visit goarrowhead.com for more information. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Red and Gold. If you want to catch up on this episode or any of the previous episodes, find them online at kcchiefs.com. And be sure to follow me on Twitter at @kcchiefs_Rachel. To keep up with the Chiefs 24/7, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Prizes are given away all the time, and we keep you in the know of all things Chiefs. Until next time, go Chiefs.
Trap.